Philippians chapter 1. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. So far the reading. In the name of our Lord, St. Paul had visited the city of Philippi in Macedonia on his second missionary journey, and as a result of that visit, a Christian congregation sprang up in that important city in northern Greece, the first place on what we call the continent of Europe to which the Christian gospel message came, so far as we know. Years later, the apostle addressed this letter that we read from to the Christians at the city of Philippi. It is evident that the apostle recalled those people with great fondness. Right after his usual apostolic greeting, "Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ," this is what he says, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you with all joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ." The apostle thanked God for the precious memories he had of those believers at Philippi. He expressed to them his great joy in the common bond of faith in which they participated along with him. And he asserted his confidence that the work of God among them would not be left half done, but that it would continue until the return of Christ on the last day. We will focus for a few minutes on one aspect of the concern St. Paul had for the believers at Philippi and the believers of all generations. Wherever the Christian gospel message creates faith in human hearts, which causes them to embrace that gospel, it also creates hope and love. This famous trio, faith, hope, and love, always go together. Where there is faith, there are also hope and love. The particular aspect which our reading brings out is this, that among people of faith, the apostle prays that love may flourish more and more. The Greek language in which St. Paul wrote has several different words that come into English under the translation love. There is a kind of love that binds parents and children together. There is a kind of love that binds friends together. There is a kind of love that binds man and woman together, which includes the dimension of sexuality. And there are precise words for all these things, for which our language simply uses the word love. Parents love their children and are in turn loved by them. Friends love one another. Husband and wife love one another. But when the apostle prays here that the love of the faithful may abound more and more, he has another type or category of love in mind. The Greek word for it has even come into our language to some extent. Maybe you've heard it. It's the word agape. It will be heard or read from time to time in English texts. So what does it mean? Well, I suppose the best way to get at it is to go back to John 3:16, to see that love by which God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son for the redemption of those whom he could have with perfect justice written off and allowed to remain under the sway of sin and death forever. But he didn't. By grace alone, he provided a way of salvation. At great cost to himself, for those who could offer him nothing and in fact did offer him despisal and rejection of his love. This idea of unconditional, self-sacrificing, complete love for the undeserving lays the foundation for our understanding of the concept. So what does it mean then when those who have faith are exhorted to abound more and more in this type of love? St. Paul gives us some insights into this distinctive New Testament concept in our reading. He leads us into the component parts that make up the kind of love that he's talking about here. And there is something about what he says here that is a bit surprising, it seems to me. His prayer is that the love of the faithful may abound more and more in knowledge, first of all. When love abounds more and more, that includes growth in knowledge. We generally associate the concept of love with the emotional or affective side of our being, with what we feel, and not so much about what we know. But for St. Paul here, knowledge is connected with love. And what the specific content of that knowledge is, he explains in the rest of his letter to the Philippians and all of his inspired writings. It has to do with the grace of God, which he has shown in the sending of his Son in human flesh to deliver us. Love abounds more and more in the knowledge of these things. Furthermore, he says that love abounds more and more in connection with discernment. Now, this takes things to still another level. To exercise discernment clearly goes beyond simply knowing something and into the area of carrying out judgment about things and doing evaluation. In this academic setting, perhaps we could suggest that St. Paul is setting up a sort of a Bloom's taxonomy of learning outcomes and critical thinking skills in connection with growing in Christian love. Doing critical evaluation is on the highest end of the classification of intellectual activities. And he also states some purposes of using knowledge to engage in discernment. And we will consider just one of the purposes that he states here. The purpose of it all is that you may approve the things that are excellent. That you may approve the things that are excellent. Use your knowledge to engage in discernment, to approve the things that are excellent. Not everything out there in the realm of religion and doctrine is excellent. Much of it is downright trashy and worthless. But making that kind of judgment runs very counter to the postmodern mentalities of the culture in which we live. The expression, "Yeah, well, whatever," which expresses skepticism and frustration about saying anything in the area of matters pertaining to faith, is clearly not a part of the apostles' vocabulary. It's not a part of abounding more and more in knowledge and discernment. We have a purpose here at this Christian college to which we can apply St. Paul's words. Let your love abound more and more in knowledge and discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent. There is real knowledge that can be acquired in matters pertaining to faith. There are spiritual truths that are knowable because God has revealed them to us in His Word. Knowledge enables us to engage in legitimate discernment and the rendering of judgments about spiritual matters. There really are excellent things which the faithful are to approve. God has begun the good work of faith in your hearts and minds. And where He gives faith, He will also cause love to abound more and more in knowledge and discernment so that you can approve what is excellent. The blessing of God rests upon your education. Let us all pray. Almighty and everlasting God, by your Holy Spirit, you have revealed to us the gospel of your Son, Jesus Christ. We beseech you so to enliven our hearts that we may sincerely receive your word and not make light of it or hear it without fruit, but that we may fear you and daily grow in faith in your mercy and finally obtain eternal salvation through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.